Please open your Bibles now to Romans chapter 7. We're coming to the end of our study of Romans 7. We're going to be looking this morning at the last two verses of this chapter, but I want to begin reading verse 14 to the end, again to gain a sense of the context of this passage. We looked at this section last Lord's Day and just talked about how Paul is describing his battle with sin as a Christian in these final verses. This morning we'll be focusing on the victory that is found in Christ. Please give attention as I read from God's holy word. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, for the one who wants to do good, in the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul has given us a very intimate look into the heart of a believer struggling with sin. In fact, he gives us a window into his own heart as he faced this battle in his daily Christian life. And think about the humility that this took for the apostle to reveal his imperfections, his failures, if you will, in following his Lord Jesus Christ. And yet that is what he does in this passage. Still, in the way that he communicates this, he does not speak as one who was without hope. Though he finds that his actions fall far short of his desires. The desires, by the way, that come from a regenerate heart, one that has been renewed by the Holy Spirit. Though he acknowledges that he is completely unworthy as a sinner before God, we see at the end of this passage that he bursts forth with hope. Why? Because he fixes his eyes upon Jesus. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so although Paul grieves over his sin and he agonizes in his struggle with that sin as he battles it in his life, we see that the outcome of that battle is certain. The victory has been won as a redeemed child of God. There is deliverance, past, present, and future, and that is where his hope rests. That's what gives him the ability to give praise at the end of this passage. Well, that's what I want us to consider this morning. Our rescue in Christ. In the midst of our battle with sin, it is easy, is it not, for us to feel overwhelmed at times, perhaps even to the point of despair. Our hearts may faint. Our faith may ebb. But it's at that point that we need to reflect upon the nature of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul does As he reflects upon this internal struggle, he comes back to Jesus Christ. He comes to the end of his resources, but he finds that although he desires to obey, sin continues to influence his life. And in grief and in frustration, he cries out, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" And then we have the exclamation point at the end, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Well, this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to consider three truths regarding Jesus' rescue of you. And if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, if you are still bound by your sin today, then I want you to also consider these three truths. These truths relate to how Jesus will rescue you when you turn to Him in faith with a repentant heart. So give thought to the rescue of our Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, brothers and sisters in Christ, God has rescued you from sin's recompense through Jesus Christ. We're talking about the past here. If you are in Christ this morning, He has rescued you from sin's recompense. And that payment, that recompense is death. Paul has already elaborated on this in previous chapters. He has shown how all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he has set forth that the just compensation for sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But in Jesus Christ, God has justified sinners who have trusted in Him. God has justified believers. Romans 3:24 says that we have been justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation or an atoning sacrifice in His blood through faith. That was no small price, was it, to pay for our redemption? Jesus, the Lamb of God, was laid upon the altar of the cross to bear the penalty that your sins deserve. He took that upon Himself. He was brought, as the prophet Isaiah says, like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He did not open His mouth. He willingly laid His life down on the altar of the cross for you. What did He bear? He bore the ridicule. He bore the beating. He bore the abandonment of His closest friends. He walked through the streets of Jerusalem before jeering crowds who had come there to celebrate what? The Passover. And He was the Passover Lamb, the Messiah, who had been promised for generations before. Yet He plodded on, led by the soldiers out of the city to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there He was nailed to the cross, becoming a curse for our sins. Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. But His greatest agony was what? It was being forsaken by His Father as He appeased the wrath of God for our sins, which He bore in His body on the tree. And yet through His suffering, Jesus made peace with God. He made peace with God for all who have faith in Him. Peace. We're talking about not just a relational peace. We're talking about a legal peace. We have been justified. We've been declared innocent. We've been reconciled with God, the Holy One. And so Jesus' words, what were they? The last words on the cross. "It is finished." Tetelestai in the Greek, which means the debt has been paid in full. He paid the penalty in full. He paid the recompense for sin completely for those who are believers in Him. And so Paul understood this as he cries out at the end of this chapter. He understood this, as do all those whose faith rests in Christ alone. As he cried out in his struggle with sin He was filled with gratitude, knowing that he was no longer condemned by the law. Remember, he's been talking about the law in this passage. He's no longer condemned by the law. His sins are no longer counted against him because he has been justified by faith through his Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he expresses praise. And that's true for each one of you, brothers and sisters in Christ. Though you continue to battle with sin in your life, though faith through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been justified by God. You no longer remain under His just wrath. The debt of your sins has been paid in full. And now in Christ you appear as righteous before the Father, because the righteousness of Christ has been credited to your account. The confirmation of our justification is what? It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why we're here this morning on the first day of the week, because Jesus rose from the dead. After Jesus died and he was laid in the tomb, he had predicted repeatedly that he would rise from the dead. And so there was this question, would he indeed rise? He said it would be a sign to the Jews that he was indeed the divine Son of God and Savior of his people. On the morning of the third day, what did the disciples find? They found an empty tomb. And the women saw the angels who testified that he had risen, just as he said. And by this we know that God accepted his perfect sacrifice for our justification. That's what Paul says back in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. So if your faith rests in Jesus Christ today, God has rescued you from sin's recompense through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what gave Paul joy, even in the struggle with sin. Secondly, we see that God has rescued you from sin's reign through Jesus Christ. Paul actually compares it, this reign, to physical death in Ephesians 2:1, the effect of being dead. Speaking of Christians in Ephesians, he says, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins." As sinners, we are helplessly ensnared by sin. That's how powerful it is. It has a power over us. It reigns over us. Our hearts are enslaved by sin. And through faith in Jesus Christ, what happens? That bondage is broken. The rule of sin in your life is conquered by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, verse 6 confirms, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." So we've been set free from the reign of sin. The chains that bound us before have been broken. And now the power of sin does not rule over us yet. That does not mean that we no longer struggle with sin. Paul struggled with sin as a born-again believer in Christ, and that's what he's been describing here. As an unbeliever, did he struggle? Remember, we talked about that. He was not struggling. He was self-righteous. He was self-assured. The reason for the battle was that he had a new heart, which loved God, which desired to please God. And that was clashing with the remnants of that old sinful nature in his life. It was clashing with indwelling sin in his life. And so he sought now to live righteously, but he was grieved when he failed to obey God. Don't lose heart in the battle. Realize that the very fact that you desire to overcome sin in your life is evidence that you have been rescued from the reign of sin. You have been born again, and you are being sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit, by God's grace. The struggle within you is evidence that God is at work. in you to will and to work for His good pleasure. That God is working in you to bring about this transformation, which we call sanctification. And again, it is Christ's resurrection that provides us with the proof of this transforming power. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore, having been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father," what? So we too might walk in newness of life. That's a holy life. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that death has been conquered, that we've been given the power to live obedient lives, to walk in newness of life. But note one important point. Victory in this life is not based upon our resolve. It stems from our reliance on the power of Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. What are you trusting in? Your own resolve? Or the power of Jesus Christ who conquered death, who caused you to be born again, who raised you with Him in His resurrection by virtue of your union with Christ? We are to yield to the Spirit's work in our lives. Certainly, we are to commit ourselves to use the means of grace which He has given us. But as we do that, we are trusting completely in His grace to sustain us and to sanctify us and to renew us in the Christian life. That is our focus. Well, in this life, we will continue to wrestle with sin, as Paul expresses here. But there is victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has delivered us from sin's reign. That's what we are experiencing in the present. The reign of sin has been broken. The struggle continues. But we are being made holy in Christ. Well, thirdly, we see that God will rescue you from sin's remaining influence through Jesus Christ. We're talking about the future now. And this is what was foremost in Paul's mind, really, I believe, as he breaks out into this doxology of praise to God for His deliverance. As mature believers who continue to wrestle with sin, we can relate to the exuberance that Paul expresses here. It seems that the remaining influence of sin in our bodies has its way at times. We see our wretchedness as sinners before God. We yearn for deliverance. We want to be freed from the presence of sin in our lives. And then God, through the ministry of His Holy Spirit again, helps us to lift our eyes to Jesus Christ and what He has secured for believers. In fact, this is the whole purpose of our sanctification, is it not? To teach us total reliance upon the grace of God for our salvation from start to finish, from justification through sanctification to glorification. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we have hope that not only will we be rescued from sin's reign, but no longer one day will there be any trace of sin left within us. No trace of sin will remain in our lives. Philippians 3:21 says, "He will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory," with Christ's glory, "by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Christ is reigning as King at the right hand of the throne of God. Does He reign over some things? He reigns over all things. He is bringing all in subjection to Him. And by that same mighty power, He will glorify you who are in Him. He will remove every trace of sin from your life as you are conformed into His perfect image." See, this battle that we are talking about here, that Paul is expressing, it is not forever. One day we will be free from the presence of sin in our lives. No longer will we say, "The good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish." Instead, as 1 John 3:2 promises, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. The beatific vision, if you will, when we will be transformed into the glorious character of Christ. Well, that is the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For not only did He rise again from the dead, not only did He defeat sin and death, but 1 Corinthians 15:20 tells us, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who are asleep. The firstfruits. The consummation of redemptive history will take place when Jesus Christ comes again and the dead are raised. And at that time, all of us who are in Christ Jesus will be raised in glory. Just as Jesus was raised 2,000 years ago on the first day of the week. He was raised with a glorified body. On that day when Christ comes again, we also will be raised with Him in glory. Revelation 21 pictures for us the rich beauty and the glory of heaven. It's a scene of purity and holiness, of bliss and happiness in the presence of God forever. We read in verse 23, "The city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Only the redeemed who have been glorified in Christ will be able to enter that holy city, that presence of the living God. That's what Paul's looking to at the end of this passage. That's why he says, "Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's why you can rejoice with Him as well. If you are in Christ this morning, you have been rescued from sin's recompense and reign. And you have the certain hope that you will be rescued from sin's remaining influence in your life, every trace of it, in glory. Have you believed on Jesus Christ for salvation? If you're still ensnared by sin this morning, I urge you to turn to Him, to humble yourself, to admit your sin and your need for salvation through Christ alone, and to trust in Him. What does He promise? He promises to forgive your sin, to cleanse you from all the unrighteousness, to reconcile you to the Holy One, God, our Father. He will deliver your soul from death, and He will give you that indescribable gift of eternal life. And brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus Christ, are you tempted to lose heart in the battle with sin? Are you discouraged in the struggle? Let me encourage you to persevere in that battle. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what Paul does here. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You are living for a resurrected Savior. He has won the victory. And you will one day be glorified, freed from all the effects of sin in your life. 1 Corinthians 15:56 to 58 say, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." It's bound for it. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your inspired Word and this inspired testimony of the Apostle Paul, who opens his heart to the struggle and the battle with sin that he endured. Father, we share that struggle. And we confess that we are tempted oftentimes to give up, to shrink from it, to lose hope. Lord, please forgive us. Please help us to readjust our gaze to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, to consider what He has accomplished through His death and resurrection for us. Lord, I pray that You would give us victory in the battle with sin, that we might see progress, that we might grow in holiness, that we might increasingly please You, our Heavenly Father, as we reflect Your holy character. And Lord, I pray that You would work in the lives of any here this morning who remain ensnared by their sin, that You would remove the scales from their eyes, that they might see Jesus and be set free. We pray in His name. Amen.